This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you're listening to Pressing Matters, the show where we go behind the headlines and explore issues driving the press. I'm Shazana Mukhtar. It's been 1 month since the Myanmar military seized control of the government and declared a year-long state of emergency on February 1st. Overnight, news reports have come out of a violent crackdown by the military government on pro-democracy protests across the country, with as many as 18 deaths reported so far. The bleak development raises questions whether Myanmar can find its way back to a democratic path, or will the military consolidate its power further? Prior to the weekend developments, I spoke with Burmese journalist Zaya Tu, who is also the CEO of a weekly news publication in Myanmar, The Voice Journal, for a picture of the situation on the ground and the discussions taking place within Myanmar in the wake of the coup. Back in October, you wrote an article about what the November 2020 elections will mean for Myanmar's democracy. There was a sense of optimism in your writing that democracy could be consolidated in these elections. So did the military coup last month then take you by surprise?
When it happens, I'm not very surprised, but the atmosphere that there might be a coup d'etat, it has been around for like a couple of weeks in the, how can I say, the political circles. And when the military spokespersons answered a question of a reporter whether military can ensure the public that will ensure that there won't be a coup, and the spokespersons of the military said, no, we cannot rule that out. So, and then people started to panic. So when it happens, I'm surprised, but not very surprised, because it has been in the air for like a week or two.
Why is the military disputing the November election results? We know that the NLD won an overwhelming majority. They won a majority of the seats. What evidence does the military have that the election results are suspect?
They said they have been collecting the evidence over the year 2020, the year of the election. They also collect the data during the time of the election. So they were saying that there has been the election frauds, the voter frauds, starting with the registration of the eligible voters. So that has been their argument for quite a while. I mean, back since in the middle of the previous years, I guess. That is their main argument.
Are there a lot of people that agree with this perspective, that that there was fraud in the elections?
Yes, of course, there would be frauds because no election is free from frauds, but not to the scale that the military argued. That is the perspective of the both international and the Myanmar observers. So there might be election frauds, but not to the degree that the military argued.
And the declaration of a one-year military government has angered a lot of the Burmese population, and protesters have taken to the streets for the past 1 month. Can you describe what these protests are like and what's been going on there?
Of course, people were very angry because it happened on the day of the new parliament. A new parliament will open on February 1st, and that was when the military staged the coup d'etat. So people were very, very angry, and so they exploded. And then they took to the streets in the every city and the town and the village in Myanmar. And that is their response to the military coup. Because whether it's 1 year or not, they don't like that there is a legitimate government going to take power after the landslide victory. So people were very, how can I say, like hopeful for the consolidation of the democracy with a new government. But and then, you know, the coup d'etat happened.
And what about those who oppose the democracy protests? Is there a sizable opposition to the democratic protests going on at the moment?
There are some protests, but not very large. I mean, if you compare to the democratic protests, that is very obvious.
There was a massive protest on the 22nd of February, described as the 5-2 revolution. What was the significance of this particular date?
We are observed with numbers, of course, and that there was a similar happening in the 1988 popular uprising when Aung San Suu Kyi becomes very prominent. So 1988 is, there's a day of very big protests, like the 5-2 protest, which just happened, that we call it 4-8 movement. So it happens at the time of 8th in the month of
August.
And the August. August 8th, 1988.
I see.
So, yeah, so it's like the history repeats. But also, it also shows the, how can I say, the rising momentum of the movement, because you want to, you know, do a, you wanted to do a major protest across all over the country in every major city and the towns, and you see that particular date.
I've also been really struck by the civil disobedience movement, which is seeing many workers refusing to go to work in protest of the military coup. Could you talk to us about how widespread is this? Does it affect all industries or is it focused on specific sectors? And what has been the impact on economic activity in Myanmar as a result of this civil disobedience?
It's focused on the public sector because people think that the military will use the public sector to run the country. So to discourage the military from doing that, and so that's why many people decided to do the so-called CDM movement, civil disobedience movement. And it's now spreading to many parts of the country. I mean, the many parts of the government machinery. But essential services remain running. And of course, the protesters do not want the essential services to stop working, like the electricity and the water, and the, you know, gas stations as well. So these are the, how can I say, no-go areas for the CDN movement. But for the private sector, they target also the banks, private banks. The transportation also as well, the container trucks. The people who drive container trucks, they also participate in the this civil disobedience movement. So transportation is largely affected. I mean, the transportation of goods, it is largely affected. And the finance is largely affected because you cannot get your money from the banks. ATMs work, but you have to find the ATMs a lot harder than, I mean, walking ATMs a lot harder than in the past. And then many of government services, they barely walk. I mean, they just maintained walk-in, but they cannot do much. So that is what is happening. And economy is disrupted. The economy is already destroyed by the COVID in the year 2020. So we are about to resume the business operations, and then the coup d'etat strikes. And then the people protest. So the economy is very much affected.
Is there widespread support for the civil disobedience movement? I mean, from what you describe, there's a lot of economic disruption as a result of the strikes taking place. Are people largely accepting that this is a necessary action?
No, of course. There are some people who support the CDM, the Civil Disobedience Movement. And of course, there are some another big section of the public that do not like the civil disobedience movement. And there are also some people who support the civil disobedience movement, but they say, okay, don't touch the private banks because we need that. You shouldn't touch the essential services. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of debate. And there's some people, they are very angry that, okay, it is almost like a suicide mission that you just mentioned. Okay, there's a very big collateral damage if you do this, and you cannot do this forever. So February is a very short month. We only have the 28 days. And so a payday is coming soon. People will want to collect their salaries. But employers, especially the big employers, private employers, they are facing a very big problem because they might not be likely to give the salaries of their staffs. So people are suggesting that there should be a truce with the private bankings so that big employers can pay their employees. Mm. That kind of debate is going on.
So it's a complex situation, essentially, and there are arguments on all sides when it comes to what's happening to the economy.
Yeah. Because it's like sometimes like a suicide mission. So you might be able to kill the enemy, but in the process, you can kill yourself.
I'm speaking to Zeya Tu, journalist and CEO of The Voice Journal, on the situation in Myanmar following the military coup on February 1st. After these messages, we'll discuss reactions from the international community and whether this will have any effect on domestic politics in Myanmar. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Hello, if you've just tuned in, this is Pressing Matters on The Morning Run. I'm Shazana, and today I'm speaking to Zeya Tu, journalist and CEO of The Voice Journal, a news publication in Myanmar. This conversation took place before events of the weekend, which has seen the military cracking down on street protests. Concerns over the escalation of violence was something I asked Zeya in our discussion. Zeya, the democratic protests so far have been largely peaceful, but we've also seen incidents where the military has used force against demonstrators. Are there concerns that the military will continue to resort to violent means to crack down on protesters? And are we likely to see violence escalate further?
Yeah, you are right. As the things escalate with the larger number of people on the street, and then the probability that the patience of the military might be waning. And it's the hot season because this is the almost the hottest time of the year is approaching, the March. And the March and the April, and then the protesters will be angry, and the police will be angry. So there might be confrontations in the if things go on like this.
At this stage, what do you think would sway the military to reverse course? The military government seemed quite intent on holding fresh elections after 1 year. Do you see any reason for them to change their mind on this?
I think only a miracle will change their determination, because they know the consequences that if they fail, fail coup d'etat, you know the outcomes. So they want to make sure that the coup d'etat is successful. They look pretty determined to go on with their 1 year plan of cleaning the mess and held a new election, and then give the power back to the other parties who win the election. So that is their announced plan. So they seem to try to stick to their schedule. That is what I gather. But now maybe they might not foresee the extent of the anger and the protests before they, maybe this miscalculated in the size of the crowd that would come out to the streets. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
How much impact would Western economic sanctions have? Could this pressure the military to return to a civilian democracy?
They will put the pressure, but they might not pressure the military government to give back the power to the civilian government. Because it has been done before in the 1990s, 2000s. They are not successful. And the Western governments know that. They try to correct their mistakes in the applying the sanctions, the sweeping sanctions to the whole country. But now I think maybe they try to use the targeted sanctions to target the key personnels involved in the coup d'etat.
Mm-hmm. What do you make of the response that ASEAN has given to the military coup? We see, for example, Indonesia attempting to play a mediating role. Do you think these efforts can bear fruit?
Efforts are always good, because even if you cannot get the 100% results of your goal, efforts are good, I would say. For us, the countries that we know in the ASEAN are the Malaysia, because we have many people working in Malaysia. Many people studying in Malaysia, and of course, a lot of people are working in Thailand and a lot of people working in Singapore. So these are the three countries we seem to know, because even the ordinary person knows Malaysia, Singapore, and the Thailand. Yeah, Indonesia. Yeah, Indonesian efforts are acknowledged in Myanmar, but they fear that Indonesia's efforts and the Thailand's efforts might acknowledge the military government, because many people do not want to acknowledge the military as the government. But of course, the thoughtful people know that the ASEAN is making an effort. ASEAN countries are making an effort. Yeah, that is their take. Yeah.
What do you see as the best and worst case scenarios that could come out of this situation?
The best one would be that, okay, the military acknowledges that that is a huge mistake. And okay, they talked to Aung San Suu Kyi. They released Aung San Suu Kyi, and Aung San Suu Kyi said that, okay, this is a huge mistake, and we will try to, make the damage control, and then things are back to normal again. So this is the priority number one, probably a plan A. But if that it doesn't happen, there has to be plan B. Plan B is that the military said that they would hold the election and they would give the power back to the winning party. Of course, there are some doubts. There are some doubts. But the worst outcome is that military will say that, okay, we don't need the elections, and then we don't need democracy, and then we will be going back to dictatorship as before. That will be the worst scenario. My suggestion is that, okay, we should try to do the plan A that I just mentioned. Aung San Suu Kyi back in power, military back to their places. If it doesn't work, and then we have to work hard to do the plan B, that to hold the military to keep their promise that they will hold an election 1 year on. But we have to make sure that this election has to be fair and free, and the winning party has to win by the democratic means. That would be the plan B.
Zaya, thanks so much for sharing your perspectives on the show today. I've been speaking to Zaya Tu, the CEO of The Voice Journal, a weekly news publication in Myanmar. This has been Pressing Matters on The Morning Run. Coming up next, we have the 10 a.m. news bulletin, and then the enterprise team takes you through the rest of the morning. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.